And today, we're going to do it old school. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another great show. I'm Pete. We have another one of these where I talk about a bunch of shit from my life. Today, special topic. I actually did a thing, so we can talk about that. Not just me complaining about, you know, my penis and all that stuff. Although there is some penis stuff there. So, you know, don't tune out just yet. I know how you all get disappointed when there's no penis stuff involved. Last weekend, I went to an event. One of the premier events related to me going and seeing stuff about comics in Colorado. It's called Comic-Con. Denver Comic-Con. This is short for Comic Book Readers and Lovers Convention Center. I went to this on Sunday last weekend. Now, I decided to make a little weekend out of it. You know, people don't do this enough. I think part of what keeps people in their shit lives, because God knows I've done it this way, what you got to do is, like, a band you love comes to town, and you think, oh, Jesus Christ, you have to go down there, you know, get the tickets, go down there, see the band, I won't leave till 1 a.m., someone's got to not drink, you know, God knows that's a deal breaker for me a lot of the times, Jesus. And what you got to do is make it an event. You know it's coming a couple months ahead. Save $100, stay in a fucking hotel, enjoy yourself, have a good life. You know what I mean? You can have a good life. God damn it, that's what I decided to do. Have a good life. So I'm staying in this hotel, and my first step was, so I saw the check-in time was not till noon, or I'm sorry, till 3. Which is, you know, here's the thing that hotels do that I think is fucked up. They'll be like, all right, checkout time is 11. Check-in time is 3. You know, so I guess they, in theory, have 4 hours to clean the whole hotel. But, you know that not everybody is leaving at that time. You know, and it's not like you know which room you're going to be in. So can't they just have the fucking maids have an iPad, you know, that they hopefully don't steal because they're not white? That went downhill fast. Hopefully, they can have this iPad, though, and just fucking say, like, all right, this room's clean, that room's clean, da-da-da-da-da, and just go through the list, you know? Speed it up. But, the problem I had, though, is, so they have a parking garage. It's like $20 to park there overnight, you know? So I called and said, you know, oh, I have a question about how the parking works. You know, first I called, and, you know, it gives you a fucking four person option, you know, it's like, if you're calling about a reservation, press 1. If you'd like to make a reservation, press, and none of the options really applied. You know, I said, all right, well, none of these were about parking or anything like that. So I just pushed 4. I was like, yeah, fuck it. That just, I think it was like, if you'd like to speak to somebody, push 4. So I said, all right, push 4. She says, this is the operator. What can I do for you? And I tell her, oh, I had a question about parking, how that works, you know? And she says, oh, okay, well, that's under reservations. And I say, eh, great. She said, I'll transfer you. Said, this is going well already. So she transfers me to reservation. And I talk to this huge biatch. People still saying biatch? I am. She was a biatch, and I'll tell you why. So I get there, and I say, okay, I have a question about the parking. And she says, okay. And just leaves it hanging there. And I say, okay. So my reservation, you know, as all reservations are, is from 3 in the afternoon till noon the next day. She says, correct. And I say, however, I'd like to come earlier to the hotel. Would it be possible to park at 12 noon today and then leave at 12 tomorrow? You know, and she says, well, the parking is 24 hours. And I say, right. So is it possible to just come whenever? And she says, well, the parking is from 3 to 3, you know. So 3 o'clock the one day till 3 o'clock the next day. It's 3 to 3, 24 hours. And I say, okay, so it's 24 hours. Yeah. So if I come at 12, As long as I leave before 12, you'd have to pay extra. I'd have, what, the extra? And she said, yeah. So basically, you know, after we go back and forth like this, and I just have to keep asking her questions, here's the thing. She doesn't just say to me, here's the deal. You'd be parked there from 3 to 3 for $22, and then you would have to pay for those additional 3 hours before. Despite the fact that, you know, you and I both know that that's a 24-hour period, you'd still have to pay for it. You know, it takes us a long time to get to that point, let alone the point where I'm saying, I understand that your lot is traditionally from 3 to 3. However, it would work great for me if I could arrive a little earlier. I don't need to check into my room. I just would like the allotted 24 hours of parking. I mean, you know you're fucking people, right? I mean, that's the whole point of this. You're fucking people because if my reservation ends at noon, why, what am I going to do parked there from noon to 3? You know what I mean? So what's the difference, really? I mean, I'll be there less than 24 hours. You know, you're fucking me. Can you just fuck me going the other way? You know? Like, okay, I don't know. It's retarded. But it just annoyed me because it's like, why do I have to ask you a question every time to get 2% further into this deal? You know what I mean? Can you not just answer my question completely with more than a yes or a no, or just say you'd have to pay? I know the parking is for pay. Okay. Anyway. So, you know, you get to the hotel. That's all fine. It's funny to go into a town on the weekend of Comic-Con, because normally, I think when I go into a hotel or a restaurant, you know, I'm probably younger looking, more braces are looking, look like a fucking dork, you know? But on Comic-Con weekend, I go to check in at the hotel, and I get kind of this thing from the clerk, you know, I said, God damn, it was fucking hard to get in here, you know? There's a festival, and da-da-da-da, and he's like, yeah, and then you got fucking Comic-Con going on, you know? All these nerds clogging up the streets, and I'm like, yeah, tell me about it. And we high-fived, and then we went and beat the shit out of some guy in a Doctor Who costume. Lots of guys in Doctor Who costumes. Doctor Who's not really much of a costume, though. I think that's the advantage. I mean, it's like a bow tie, or one guy wears sneakers and a coat. I don't know. Anyway, so I get in the room. Yeah, I like a hotel room. I get up there and it looks nice. Looks like somewhere I could get a lot of business done. You know, it's every time I enter a hotel room, I think maybe I should just like do a lot of productive stuff, you know, get some posts up on the website, get some writing done. This is a good situation for me. Low stimulus. There's a nice desk here. It's got a lamp, a phone that probably works, you know, and doesn't, there's no Facebook button on the phone, so that's good for me too. And you know, you'll sit there at the desk. They always have a little pad of writing paper that's got two goddamn sheets of paper on it. I don't understand where they're getting these pads. Can you pre-buy a pad of paper that's only got two fucking sheets of paper and then that piece of cardboard on it? What kind of asshole office supply company sells something like that? You know, I mean, it works because the hotel is more honest with myself than I am. The hotel is saying, listen, you're not going to get any fucking work done. You know, three sheets max. If you get through these three sheets, then we'll talk. You know, then we'll send up a full pad. In the meantime, there's no need to have this maid lug up a full pad of fucking paper in every room, okay? You know, you're just going to get drunk and pass out in this room and not write anything down. Or maybe write down one thing and then you can't read it in the morning. So it'll be a complete waste anyway. Which is basically what happened. You know? It's Nicanor and Katie came. We went and had drinks and accidentally had too many drinks. You know? I knew towards the end, well, before they even came, I decided I was too hungry, I had to go eat. And I was tense, you know, because driving in, they had this fucking stupid festival. I hate outdoor festivals. This is another thing I hate about summer. God, do I hate an outdoor festival. You know, people out there in their fucking hats, putting sunblock on the kid's face. Jesus Christ, what a nightmare. You know, and they always have like one shitty carnival ride and then the worst funnel cake you've ever seen in your life. I don't understand how people keep fucking up funnel. Yeah, I do know how they fuck up a funnel cake. A funnel cake is good for about 45 seconds after it's made. You need to put that shit directly in my face. You know what? There's got to be, but by the time you've dusted it with powdered sugar, it's over. You need to just pull a chain, woof, and powdered sugar goes on it, and then I just eat it. There is no time for that to be sitting around, you know, just rotting. By the way, speaking of carnival food, I was at work the other day doing my thing where I eat lunch in the parking lot because, you know, I used to hate, there's a guy who did that at my work, not that worked there, but from some other work. And watch him eat it, and I was like, God, what a fucking sad man. And now that's me, you know, and it is sad, but it's less sad than eating in the break room. That's the worst. Because then people just want to talk to you, and I'm like, I'm kind of on lunch. If you want to talk to me about my lunch, you know, just leave me a note in my mailbox, okay? So I'm eating lunch in the parking lot, thinking how weird it is, and then I look over, this fucking lady next to me in the parking lot's eating a goddamn corn dog in her car. Where do you even get a corn dog? You know what I mean? And who's eating? And it's on the stick and everything. You know, eating a fucking corn dog in her car for lunch. And who's eating a corn dog for lunch? That's not a lunch. That's something you eat so you can puke it up on the fucking fireball or the chains of fire or whatever fire-related name your carnival ride has at your town. So anyway, you know, before Nick and Nora and Katie get down to Denver, I'm already had a couple drinks, three drinks. You know, it's dangerous when you go to these restaurants and they say, oh, you want this beer? Do you want the big beer or the little beer? Because, you know, I tend to go, there are so many reasons to go for the big beer versus the little beer. You know, I try and assess the service up to that point and be like, oh God, what if I ran out of this little beer? God forbid that happen. To go 10 minutes without putting booze in my face, you know, aware of what's happening around me. Can you, ugh, what a nightmare. You know, not since Freddy Krueger has been on the scene have I seen something like this. You know, so I get that. And then also, I'll start thinking, maybe I should just have a whiskey because that'll get things rolling. You know, if I have the whiskey first, I'll be already mellowed out. And then I can, once I'm mellowed out, I can really enjoy the beer. You know, I don't just have to plow through this beer to get to the one that's fun. I can immediately start enjoying, you know, so that's how I end up having a whiskey and a giant beer before they arrive, and then we have a bunch more beers and a whiskey again. So I go back to the hotel drunk. You know, and you can kind of tell, I think, what my hotel stay was like. I think the maids, I always think of them going through the trash can at the hotel where I've been, and it's kind of like an archaeological dig. You know, the things that happen first are at the bottom, and then the newest stuff's at the top, you know? So for mine, you know, the bottom layer, they would have found a empty bag of a little snack I like to call munchies. I like to call it that because that's what it's fucking called. I'm assuming most of you are aware of munchies. This is the snack that came from some guy sweeping the fucking floor at the Frito factory and just throwing it all in a bag. And making my dreams come true with also pretzels. And then, you know, who would have thought that a guy with a push broom would change my life this way? You know, one guy with a mustache and a push broom just in a jumpsuit sweeping his way right into my heart. So I like to eat this delicious. You know, it used to be I would check into a hotel. It was exciting because I'd be there with somebody and be like, man, we're going to have that hotel sex. That's always fun. We'll watch the TV. That's fun. You know, and so now it's like, well, here's what's great about the hotel. I've got either this king bed or these two queen beds, right? So in this, I had king bed. I can lay here nude and eat munchies until I pass out. And then roll over to the other side of the bed that won't be all infected with the munchy dust, because that fucking shit gets everywhere. You know, I woke up the next morning, you know, and it was on in the bathroom. It was on the towels and the sink and everything. I didn't remember. It was like someone had killed a hooker made out of Doritos in that bathroom. So I'm eating the munchies, you know, excitedly waiting to masturbate after finishing those, you know, kind of trying to rush through the munchies, not enjoying it as much as I should have, but still quite a bit. more than anyone has any right to enjoy them. I'll say that. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the problem was I passed out. I had too many drinks, I say, because I passed out before I rolled over. So I was sleeping in my own munchy filth, you know, the dust and whatnot. It was like I'd made a snow angel in Cheeto dust. Except it was like, instead of doing the snow angel motion, I was laying still with my knees locked, masturbating, and passed out that way. So whatever you call that, a snow sex offender or something, would be the outline. And it was like, imagine, you know, the outline in the bed. It's like the Cheeto dust. You know, they show those things where the bomb dropped in Hiroshima, and it's like a shadow gets thrown up on the wall. I mean, they always show... You know, they'll show, like, some lady cradling her baby in its last moments or, you know, I don't know, some guy hugging his son or whatever. They never show the Japanese me, you know, the guy who passed out on a bed masturbating, eating a fucking Cheeto dust-covered shrimp or whatever they eat for snacks over there. Just the bomb goes off and whoosh, and he's preserved forever in that masturbatory pose. And the news comes by to take pictures, the photojournalist, and he's like, we'll probably just skip this house for now. And we'll go see if we can find, I don't know, fucking guy in a wheelchair who fell in a volcano that was created by the bomb. I don't know how bombs work. I just take pictures. What do I know? So, yeah, so I, you know, eventually managed to roll over on my stomach, and then I woke up with this severe pain in my forehead, you know. Like someone had drilled a hole in my head. It was intense. It was hard. It was sharp. It was unavoidable. And so I'm thinking, what the fuck is, you know, I reached up fully expecting to feel blood or, you know, thinking I'd fallen and hit my head on the nightstand or something and just didn't remember. And, you know, I reach up and then definitely pick at my head and there's like a fucking Dorito shard stuck in my forehead. You know? Tell you one thing about Pete. He knows how to fucking party, huh? He is a party animal. And I get up the next morning. I had to get up. My car, I didn't park at the hotel lot. Because there was a lot that was $20, you know, over the same, a longer time span. Basically for a real 24 hours, you know, that was 2 blocks away. And I said, all right, this is sweet. Only problem was I had to go print out a new parking ticket at 7 a.m. You know, so that meant I went to bed at like 3 or 4 and had to get up at 6:30, stumble down to my car and print out a new parking ticket and then go back up to bed. So I get up and I feel like that kind of hungover where you're so hungover that you think you might still be completely wasted, but you're not. Because it's not fun at all. And I look in the mirror and my eyes are so red. You know, it looks like there's no separation between the color part and the outside white part. There's just redness. You know, definitely, if I'd been more aware of what was going on, my first thought would have been like, oh, well, that, you know, I got vampired last night, clearly. This is the only way my eyes would look like this and I'd be feeling this much pain from turning on the bathroom light. Beautiful fluorescent tube in the bathroom. So I put on some clothes and go shuffling out to the street, you know, looking like a complete shithead. Like, you know, when you look bad. So I'm out on the street. It's like 6:30 in the morning on a Saturday or a Sunday. So there's nobody out really. And I see this lady coming. It's a real shitbag lady, you know, bum-like maybe. And I could see her doing the math looking at me. Of, you know, oh, fuck, I don't think I want to, like, walk right next to this guy. We're not going to do the nod hello, beautiful Sunday morning thing, are we? I feel like I might get robbed or, you know, she might just vomit right in front of me or something like that. You know, I could see her doing that math and also the math of how far away can I get without just, you know, completely just crossing the street, running into traffic and saying, oh, screw it. I don't care if he sees me, you know, I think this is the right thing to do. So she gets to the very edge of the sidewalk. She's pretty much doing a tightrope on the edge of the sidewalk. And I walk and get the parking ticket. I'm coming back. I can see in the reflection of the 7-Eleven window that my fucking shirt is inside out, you know, just to really complete the look, and then ride the elevator 10 floors or something and get extremely car sick and then pass out for a few more hours. My hotel stay there. Then the top layer, on top of the munchies, then we've got Starbucks cup. You know, it had the Starbucks in the room. They had this thing. It's fucking hilarious because it says, you know, we proudly serve Starbucks coffee. It's like, oh, you mean you proudly just leave this fucking bag here for me to make? That's what pride. Clearly, it's a lot of pride, you know, and it's got the coffee pot in there. Hotels love these coffee pods, but it's not the kind that's like the big creamer cup. It's like someone sewed together two coffee filters and stuffed coffee in the middle. It's like a pillow with a coffee filling. You know, you put it in the thing, and it, I don't know, something about that style of coffee feel. I just feel like it's like a feminine product or something. Like it feels like a tampon, or it's like if a tampon and a breast implant had a baby, that's what it would be, and filled with coffee. I don't know where the coffee comes in. I don't know what's inside breast implants. I suspect it's not coffee. I wouldn't be opposed to that, though. You know, so you're stuffing it in this thing. It doesn't fit right. The coffee's coming out all fucked up. And then, you know, I go to fill the reservoir, as we call it on the fancy coffee machine. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, so putting this cup under here. This is the cup I drank out of last night in my munchies fugue. It's got like an orange stain all along the rim, an orange grease stain. I'm getting water from the fucking bathroom to fill up to make coffee. This is, you know what? This is a lot like going into a Starbucks. This is pretty much the experience. You know, I know you're proud to serve Starbucks, but I think they're even more proud that you're doing it. They clearly take great pride in this shit. So I have that, you know, that's the next layer of trash. And the top layer of trash in my trash can 7-layer dip is 2 empty bottles of the drink Ensure. I know what you're probably thinking. If it's anything like the one other person I've already told this, they said, isn't that old people drink? And it is. This is a drink that you see on commercials. Basically, it's a drink that doctors prescribe to people because they're like, you're losing weight too much. Yeah, it's the number one prescribed drink by doctors, it says. You know, so this is a kind of commercial where it's like, see a fucking old man working on a ranch, wipes the sweat off his brow, and then he's drinking an Ensure. You know, you'll see some old bat playing tennis, and she has an Ensure on the way there in the car or something, just to keep her. You know, what they don't show is like a severely depressed man who just doesn't even see the point in eating most of the time anymore. So it's like, well, I mean, this will power my terrible body to its doom eventually, so I guess I got to drink something, eat something. It's much easier to just drink these calories than to actually ingest them in a food form. Yeah, it doesn't require refrigeration or heat. You just fucking uncap it, drink it, and throw it out the fucking window on the highway, you know? So that's the top layer of trash. So, you know, the maid who emptied my trash was thinking, oh, look at this guy. He really knows how to party. Used up our 3 sheets from the fucking thing, you know, just writing fuck, 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 fuck on them. Then ate a whole bag of munchies and then turned the bag inside out to make sure he got all of it, you know. God forbid there be something left in the corner. Then, you know, we've got this Starbucks cup that I don't know if he... kind of looks like he invented a nacho cheese fried chicken in it based on the grease and the orange dust. And then 2 bottles of Ensure. His grandparents must have came to pick him up after this weekend bender. Good for him. So, you know, after that, went to the actual Comic-Con. You know, Comic-Con 2013. Fortunately for me, I got accidentally swept up in the line, so I didn't even have to wait very long. So I'll say this, Comic-Con-wise, not enough fucking comics there. I mean, good for everybody else that you're enjoying, you know, the fruits of Comic-Con and, you know, I don't know, embracing your geekiness or whatever you want to call it. But I would like some more fucking comics there, you know? When's going to be my time, as we say? But you know what I did enjoy is the people watching. I know what that sounds. I know. I'm not fucking retarded, okay? Give me a second. I'm not one of these people who's like, you know what I really love to do is just watch people. You know, the wonderful potpourri of life. Fuck that shit, okay? I'm not stupid. I don't have like a brain tumor or something that's caused me to just think crazy shit. You know, I'm not. I'm still the same guy. I still hate everyone, okay? The thing is, people watching at Comic-Con is boobs, butts, and fucking weird dorks. So it's great. You know, it's like really everything I'm interested in. You know, it'd be people watching. People watching isn't fun except for the top 10%, the top tiers of fucking weird people. And this is like the top tiers altogether, you know? And they're kind of letting it fly, too. So that helps. I mean, the costumes, you know, of course, okay. There's the sexy lady costumes, right? And that was nice at times. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I feel like people have a problem with, you know, like someone who's not attractive dressing in a costume that's attractive. That doesn't bother me. I don't know what the protocol is. I don't know how exactly this all works because, for example, so Nicanor and I are walking around the Comic-Con floor just kind of checking stuff out. We walk past this booth. And these booths all have people who work there, and they kind of try to attract you in, you know, with their wares or try and say, hey, how are you gentlemen doing? Come check out fucking, you know, these goggles I make or this fucking dragon statue I have or these t-shirts. We walk past this booth. I think it was something to do with magic. I don't know. And, you know, the lady there kind of said, hey, how are you guys doing? But we kind of kept our eyes averted and said no because she had huge boobs that were pushed way up and out. You know, and they were pushed up and out in the way where there was curvature over the top. Now, I have no problem with this. Don't get me wrong. I do not mind a chesty lady. This is not a turnoff for me. I wasn't like, ma'am, you're repulsive and I have to leave. But when they're that out in front and center, and I'm sure I'm not interested in what's in the booth, I can't stand there and talk to her without... This is the protocol part I don't understand. When they're that up and out, I'm not saying like, I need to touch your boobs or something like that. What I am saying is I know for myself as a person, it would be really hard for me to not say, well, that was an interesting pitch. So listen, your boobs are like real... out here, huh? What's that like? What is that like? I really don't. I'm just curious. I just want to know, you know. I'd have a lot of questions about how she made that happen, the architecture involved. I'm just curious. I don't know. I don't have a problem with the boobs at all. I mean, it's just after the Comic-Con, it just made me sad because I feel like I'm not doing anything with my balls. And these balls are the closest equivalent, I think, to boobs. And then, I mean, it's no substitute. Don't get me wrong. But Jesus Christ, after seeing the boob options, there are a lot of ball options that I think are yet to be discovered. You know, I hope we're living in the golden age of the ball and we really figure that out. I'm not a fucking fashion designer, so let's not leave it to me, but somebody should get on that. You know, I saw a lot of butts too. A lot of butts. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm just fucking weird. Like, there's a girl dressed as Batgirl, Batwoman. She's wearing kind of a one-piece bathing suit kind of thing. And the butt part was real small. So you really saw her whole butt. You know what I mean? You saw everything but the crack, basically. And she was walking, and her boyfriend was there. And the boyfriend was not wearing a costume at all, which I think is weird. Like, if your girlfriend goes all out like that and you just don't even wear anything, what is that? You know? I don't know. I mean, I go to a wedding. I'm not that into it. I still wear a fucking tie, for God's sake. But they're walking along, and the guy's like caressing her butt as they're walking along, her exposed Batwoman butt. And for some reason, that just seemed real weird to me. I don't know why. I guess caressing a butt is weird. Like, I hate the thing when fucking people put their hands in their wife's pocket, back pockets or whatever, and they're just standing there. But, I mean, this was like nude touching of butt, right? Am I crazy? I mean, this would be like putting your hand down her pants in the back and then just caressing her naked butt as you're just walking in a convention center. What is that? I feel like an old prude or something. I don't know. it's just very strange to me. I'm not really sure. It's funny. Here's another thing. So, you know, my friend Alec was saying, okay, the etiquette is if you want to take a picture, you have to ask first, you know, which I get that. I mean, you don't want, I mean, I sort of get it, but it's like, what's the fear here that I'm going to masturbate to your picture? I mean, here's a clue. Like if you want to know if a guy is going to masturbate to a picture he's taking of you in a sexy outfit at Comic-Con, yes. I mean, almost definitely. Unless he's very interested in the fashion design of it, you know what I mean? Or something like that. I mean, I would say absolutely yes. You know, because why else would he take the picture? And here's the other thing. I grew up in the 90s, friends. I don't need to take a fucking picture to remember that shit, okay? I have special hard drive space partitioned just to remember these images. You know, I'm used to this. I don't remember like my birthdays from when I was a kid. I don't remember my younger siblings being born at all. You know, I don't remember really when my mom graduated from college as a single woman making it in a man's world. You know, but I remember in maybe 10th grade when I was in math class and Holly Osmussen bent forward at the desk in the front of the class to ask a question and set her paper there. And I could see right down her shirt. It was fucking amazing. She's wearing a green shirt and a white bra. Okay? That was good. And I still remember, that memory is clear as day, you know. And I don't know how wrong it is for me to remember that, but the memory has also aged, so I think it's fine, right? It's the 10-year high school reunion last year, so it's been like 11 years. So even if she was 17, essentially, that's a, 28-year-old memory at this point. I mean, that's well in the wheelhouse. But so, I mean, I can remember that. I can take a snapshot with my mind. Don't worry. I don't need to take a picture. It's not like, well, I didn't get a picture, so I guess I can't masturbate while thinking about that. Please. That used to be like my raison d'etre, you know, going through life. I would start panicking if it got to be maybe 4 o'clock in the day and I think, oh God, what am I going to masturbate while thinking about today? You know, if I saw something great early in the day, if I saw something like that down the shirt 10 a.m. that day, I'd be thinking, this is going to be a good day. I don't have to have this anxiety about how am I going to make sure that I get this taken care of later. It's taken care of. I'm done. I'm good. You know, I would just go through the day panicking because I'm like, if I don't see anything, it's going to be hard. I'm going to have to go off some pretty old memories here. I don't have a lot, you know, I don't have things. People talk about the spank bank. Believe me, as a teenage man, I had nothing in there as far as real life experiences, you know. It all had to be extrapolated from very small amounts of information. I was like a fucking code breaker trying to break the Enigma, the Nazi thing, you know. I had tiny little bits of information. I just had to wow the world by extrapolating those into fully formed masturbatory fantasies. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I get why the pictures is sort of a big deal, but, you know, whatever. I don't know. You know, and maybe this is a comic book thing. You know, people complain about the costumes that some of the female comic book characters wear, that they have ridiculous, you know, that their boobs are just out or their midriffs are exposed, and that doesn't make sense if you're fighting crime, which I sort of agree with. But then everybody at Comic-Con was dressed like that. So, I mean, people are digging the costumes, you know what I mean? Obviously, somebody's into it. I mean, I don't know, it's a costume. That'd be like saying, oh, I went to this Broadway show. Didn't make much sense. They're all twirling around and shit instead of just, you know, fixing up the goddamn car so they could burn up the quarter mile. It's like, yeah, I don't know. It's not real life. Like, it's supposed to be special. The costumes are supposed to look special, I guess. That's all I can think of. It's like a prom dress, you know. I mean, yeah, you could dress in the most practical thing ever. It'd probably be like cargo. You know, Superman would be wearing fucking cargo shorts and a white t-shirt. Easily replaceable. He'd look like an asshole. You know, fuck that. You know, and there's the guy version of that, too. I mean, obviously, there's, you know, always at any of these events, there's a guy dressed like a guy from 300 with no shirt on. And you just, here's the thing. Here's why I'm a bad you know, equality guy. Because I see that guy, and I have no problem saying, that guy just wants to walk around with no fucking shirt on. You know, fuck that guy. But when I see a lady who's dressed also fairly scantily clad or whatever, I have a harder time just saying, like, she just wants to see everyone naked. Fuck that lady. You know what I mean? I don't know why. I guess I feel like, you know, a certain amount of... We're always told, you know, it's like, ah, be you and be proud of your body. And dressing a certain way doesn't mean da-da-da-da, which I agree with. I'm not endorsing, like, go rape the 300 guy. You know, that's not... I mean, I don't know. It would be weird. It would be funny if the one rape at Comic-Con and they were like, there was a rape this weekend. It was a guy dressed like one of the warriors from 300. You know, was raped by, I don't know, some dude dressed in an Adventure Time costume. It was quite the sight to behold. But I'm not saying that. I just, you know, when you're dressed a certain way, I think it just, you're making an indication about how you feel about yourself, I think. I don't know. You know, not that you want anything to happen to you or that you actually want to do anything, but just that an emotional indication of some sort, I think. I don't know. Fuck it. I mean, I was hungover as fuck, so who am I to judge? I'm at Comic-Con hungover, and I can't tell if it's more because I ate all those munchies or because I had booze. So, you know, take these judgments with a grain of salt. I do have to say this, too, about the men's costumes. Like, the women's costumes, you know, I gotta say, so like Batgirl, for example, there are a lot of Batgirls. And, you know what there was also a lot of? You remember Lilu from the movie The Fifth Element? You remember that sci-fi movie that, like, nobody seemed to have seen, and then it turned out everyone saw it, but no one said anything? I mean, it's pretty, not like a huge movie, you know what I mean? I enjoyed it, but it was not huge. And so there's this lady in it, and at one point she's dressed in a, I don't even know what you'd call it, it's just basically an ace bandage, you know, what that goes up her vertically and covers the crease of her V there, and then goes over her nipples, and there's one that goes like over her stomach, and then it somehow covers her butt slightly. Basically, it's like the world's laziest mummy, you know, or a real thrifty mummy that said, I don't want to spend a lot of money on these ace bandages, so let's just cover the primeval spots and then move on from there. You know, I saw three different people dressed like that lady. That's not even like a popular person, you know, and that's not like an exciting character, you know, she doesn't barely even talks in the fucking movie. I don't know. But so, okay, so then here's the thing with the guy's costume. The thing with the lady costume, though, like even that lady or Batgirl or whoever, when you read the comics or see the movies, they're not usually, you know, inhumanly ripped. You know what I mean? They look kind of average. They look like an average fit baby lady. So, I mean, you can get away. There's a lot of leeway as far as, like, well, she's got the costume on. It doesn't look ridiculous. Like, if you see an average man dressed in a Spider-Man costume, it looks fucking terrible. You know what I mean? It's going to be tight on his gut, and the legs are going to be baggy. The back, the ass is the worst part. The ass is going to be sagging. It looks like he dropped a load in it. You know, it looks like complete shit, and then he's got his fucking sneakers on. You know, and there's a wet spot on the mouth of the mask. Looks fucking terrible, right? And it's because you're used to seeing a pretty ripped Spider-Man in a form-fitting costume, and it's like, oh my god, he's got like a six-pack and whatever. Looks pretty fucking good. Tiger, you hit the jackpot, Mary Jane, huh? Goes both ways. Or, you know, Superman. I mean, huge ripped dude, right? I mean, just looks, it looks wrong when you see the guy and he's not, it doesn't look like that, you know. So, I mean, a guy could pick a costume that looks more, you know, where it's not as important, or maybe the costume is fun enough that you just don't care or whatever. You know, he's got a fucking suit of armor on. But, you know, people don't make this choice often. So you see some weird dude costumes that way. And also, even some, I saw this fucking He-Man, right? We're standing there watching people. I'm kind of spinning. And watching this guy, there's like a He-Man and a She-Ra coming in together. And the He-Man was wearing sort of a muscle suit. and then the He-Man clothes on top of it. He even had a He-Man wig, which, by the way, the He-Man haircut looks real bad in real life. And it looked pretty stupid. It was kind of like Prince Valiant, but he looked like, you know, Tom Petty crossed with the Scarecrow. Just straight bangs across. You know, it looked really bad. But the thing is, even when you make that fake costume with the fake body and all that, on top of that fake body is this dumb-looking head. You know, the guy's, like, breathing through his mouth, and he's got a 5 o'clock shadow, and he looks greasy and all that. It doesn't look like He-Man. You know what I mean? I'm not just saying, like, the guy is ugly, which he was. But it doesn't look like He-Man because he's, like, you know, you just don't see He-Man going into battle looking like shit. And that's part of the fantasy, right? I mean, I guess that's part of it. But unfortunately, it makes the contrast very stark. You know, we're just not used to seeing people with an incredible body and then a head that looks like that. It looks bizarre. You know, I don't know if people who are real ripped, like, does The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, does he just, you know, since part of a big part of who he is how he looks, does he just take care of himself? Is he just a handsome man and that's why we all know him? What's going on there? You know, how, where does the head-body connection come in? I don't know. Or it just looks okay because that's what it was meant to be genetically. I don't know. Tell you this, too. Speaking of retarded-looking faces, a lot of fucking wheelchairs at this Comic-Con. A lot of crippled people. You know. I don't know. I mean, it just seemed like an inordinate number. You know, the normal ratio, imagine you go out in a downtown area on a Friday night. You might see one person in a wheelchair. You know what I mean? Maybe two. I mean, how many wheelchairs do you see on an average night out? Pretty rare, right? I swear to God, at Comic-Con, I think it was like 1 in 15 people was in a fucking wheelchair. You know, or had crazy crutches or something like that, you know? And some of them, you know, and of course, obviously, you could be Professor X, and some of them did not, most of them that I saw did not avail themselves of that opportunity. I mean, maybe it questions the legitimacy of the wheelchair. I don't know. I don't know if that's why they didn't do it, because they're like, oh, just because I'm in a wheelchair, I got to be fucking Professor X. But you know what Nicanor saw? A white Storm. Storm is like one of three black characters who's not called Black something. You know, as a black woman, you don't have a lot of fucking options when you go to Comic-Con. I mean, and what's weird, too, you know, he's saying he saw, what was it? It was like a black guy, but he was dressed as, I don't know, Superman or something. And for some reason, that seems fine to me. I think because, you know, as a black guy, how many options do you have? I mean, realistic options. Most of them suck. What are you going to be, Luke Cage? I mean, give me a fucking break. They'll just think you're dressed like an asshole. You know what I mean? They're not even going to know who you are. The Falcon? Come on. But, you know, if you're dressed as the Falcon, you could have the most amazing costume ever, and everyone would just say, where's Captain America? Do you have a Captain America? How come you don't have a real... You could have a real Falcon with you, and people would still ask you where Captain America was. You know, and as long as some shithead who looked vaguely... He wore a t-shirt that had a American flag on it, they'd be like, oh, this is a great team up. Glad you finally found your Captain America, Falcon. Good for you. We worked it out. Magic of Comic-Con. You know, so... But White Storm was a problem for me. Because I just feel like you've got so many options as a white lady. In the X-Men alone, you could be Kitty Pryde. You could be Rogue. You could be Mystique. You know, that's a blue one. So that could be whatever. You could be the White Queen. You got a lot of fucking options in the X-Men without even branching out. I mean, I guess if you're just into Storm... But it's kind of crazy, right? I don't know. I mean, what do I fucking know? Again, I know nothing about this. You know, all the wheelchairs, too. I saw this fucking lady, kid. It was hard to tell. Hard to tell, but it was a person, if that's what you want to call it, who had this contraption that it took me a minute of watching to realize that this was not somebody using, like, a mech costume, you know, dressing up like fucking Pacific Rim or something. This was some kind of crazy wheelchair crutches contraption, you know, where she, the actual frame of it was behind her. She kind of leaned back into it and held these handles and then scooted along or something forward. I don't know. It took me a long time to even realize that this person was not dressed up and was just like real retarded. I did not know until it was far too late, you know, and then I did the like, oh God, you know, okay. Jesus Christ. That is a contraption, my friend. I mean, maybe this is like the whole issue I have with Comic-Con too. Like, I like the thing where it's, you know, let your freak flag fly. Oh, speaking of that, freak flags. So we're walking around and we say, oh, let's go see what's going on downstairs. We go into this room. It's like a thing. It's a panel. It's like tattoos and freak shows. And I say, all right, well, this should be good. Go in there. There's this fucking guy in there. There's a whole lineup of people at a table who look pretty normal, except they're all wearing stupid top hats and shit. One guy's wearing a fez. And then there's this guy called the Enigma, who's kind of like, if you've ever seen that lizard man, he looks like that. He's got puzzle piece fucking tattoos all over. He's got weird horns on his head. God knows what else. You know, so we go in there and I see these guys all sitting at a table and I'm like, all right, well, this is going to be something, you know. The Enigma guy was drinking from like a coffee cup. That was disappointing. Like, well, this guy shouldn't need fucking coffee, right? He should be doing fucking Coke or something. Or, you know, eating some weird plant from the Amazon that I've never heard of. I'd prefer that, sir. You know, so I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be good. And so some guy asks a question about sword swallowing, you know, and this guy just talks about how, oh, yeah, one of the top hat guys is talking about, yeah, it's hard to learn. It's pretty dangerous, you know, because you can cut yourself internally, da, 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 da. Then the Enigma takes over. This guy's the biggest fucking blowhard in the world. I can see why he's got tattoos all over his body, because listening to him talk is not going to last long if you're not seeing him, you know, if you're not experiencing him as a visual object. I don't know how long people could really hang in there and listen to this bullshit. Because, you know, he's talking about, yeah, you know, this is our art. This is what we do as an art. We take it very seriously. You know, if you cut your wrist and don't bleed your art, you got to ask yourself why you're even doing it, you know. I'm like, okay. Let's just take it down a notch, you know. And he's saying, oh, I learned to swallow swords when I was 15 because I was real down. And I figured, well, if I die, I die. Who cares? It doesn't matter, you know. Which that part I sort of identified with. I mean, that's how I learned to ride a motorcycle. You know, I took the class, but when I really got proficient was because I was like, well, I don't really care if I die. So that it helps. God, does it help once in a while learning a skill. But the guy was way too fucking serious for, you know, he's a freak show and he's talking about how great it is. And then they're talking about how you can't just watch it on YouTube, even though everything is available on YouTube. This is their words, you know. They're like, it's all available on YouTube. You can just watch it. But really, come to the show. You know, what you see in real life is so different. Da, 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 and it's just like, and we don't have real experiences anymore. I'm like, Jesus Christ, is somebody going to fucking blow fire or something here? Or should we just leave? I want to see the guy's dick. Yeah, I want to see the Enigma's dick. That's tattooed. You know, that's all. He could just plop his dick out just on the table, show us his tattooed dick, and then I would clap and leave, you know? Standing ovation, in my opinion. That's not something you see every day. You know, you never get to see anyone's dick. I'd like that. I wish someone at every panel that this would start going around like a viral thing. Every time there's a panel, doesn't matter what it is, you know, a convention about like fucking learning to talk or something, and it's just, hey, pull out your dick, you know, and then the guy's like, oh, okay, and then they all clap, you know. Go to a panel, it's like the Doctor Who panel, and they've got three old Doctor Who's up there, and they say, pull out your dicks, and then they all laugh, and they're like, oh, you guys, and pull out their dicks on the table. It'd be great. I don't know. I mean, that to me is fun. That's something you come out to see. I mean, yeah, if you're telling me I can't see it on YouTube, let's see your dick covered in puzzle pieces. That's a show. That is a freak show. And a man, by the way, who's talking about bleeding for his art should not balk at the idea of tattooing his dick. I mean, Doesn't seem like too far to go. See, that guy was a shithead. I don't know, man. Overall, Comic-Con, pretty fun. But let's get more comics. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't need all this other stuff. I don't need guests from shows I've never even heard of. You know? I don't need somebody from... I don't know. I didn't even know there was a goddamn Green Arrow show. And there was somebody from that show. You know, the third lead from that show. And it's like, okay. Yeah, I just yawned. I mean, I think it was just talking about the Green Arrow show. But that's a good signal for the end of the show. Thanks for listening. Hope you had fun last weekend. As much fun as I had at Comic-Con. Saw some crazy wheelchair or something. Stick with the show. Keep telling your friends. Tell your parents. That's your assignment this week. Get your parents to listen to this shit. They'll love it. Mom, Dad, your children are fucked. Have a good week.
I was rougher than the timber, shipping out of Fond du Lac. When I headed south at 17, the sheriff on my back. I'd never held a lover in my arms or in my gaze, so I found another victim every couple days. But the night I fell in love with her, I made my weakness known to the fighters and the farmers digging dusty fields alone. The jealous innuendos of the lonely-hearted men let me know what kind of country I was sleeping in. Well, you couldn't stay a loner on the plains before the war. When my neighbors took to slighting me, I had to ask what for. Rumors of my wickedness had reached our little town. Soon she'd heard about the boys I used to hang around. We'd robbed a Great Lakes freighter, killed a couple men aboard. And I told her her eyes flickered like the sharp steel of a sword. All the things that she'd suspected, I'd expected her to fear. Was the truth that drew her to me when